We can't hear you.
Welcome to the KPFA local station board meeting. Today is July 19th, 2025. Candace, please take the roll.
Rabab Abduhadi. Rabab. Emma Auer.
Present.
Emma present. Virginia Browning.
Here.
Virginia present. Donna Carter. Present.
Donna present. Michael Chang.
Here.
Michael here. Cheryl Davila. Cheryl Davila. Fred Dodsworth. Fred Dodsworth. Anthony Fest.
Here.
Anthony present. Sherry Gendelman.
Here.
Sherry present.
Sherry, your audio is a little bit shaky.
Christina Huggins.
Here. Christina. I'm here.
Christina present. Zach Calvier.
Here.
Zach here. Carlos Cohan.
Present.
Carlos present. Steve Kukala.
Present.
Steve present. Philip Maldari.
Here.
Philip here. Kathy Pico.
Good morning.
Kathy here. Allegra Thompson.
Here.
Allegra here. Andrea Turner.
Present.
Andrea here. Mark Van Landwit. Mark Van Landwit. Richard Walensky.
Here, but not present. I'm here.
Stan Woods. Stan Woods. Candace, present. Carol Wolfley.
Present.
Present, Carol. Rabab Abdulhadi. Cheryl Davila. Fred Dodsworth. Mark Van Landwit. Stan Woods. So we have 17 present, and I move that we excuse the absences.
Any opposition? Thank you. We will excuse those who are absent today. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And we do have quorum. Thank you. Some of the local station boards have been Zoom bombed with highly offensive, racist, and pornographic material. We are taking precautions during this Zoom bombing to prevent Zoom bombing. However, Zoom bombing with sexually explicit material could appear momentarily in a meeting. We advise that you restrict your Zoom for this meeting to exclude children or others. And if you are in a meeting and Zoom bombing occurs, that you stop your connection and then look for an email from Candace. It has an auto reply, but she will see your communication. So we're going to proceed. We will be limiting the video for non-board participants. Thank you. Okay, and we have some people who have entered the waiting room. Stan, I see that Stan Woods is joining. I'm going to admit someone has entered with an iPhone. The person entering with an iPhone, are you a KPFA local station board member? Okay. Thank you. All right. I believe they are not. A local station board member. Okay. So we will now proceed with approving the agenda. Are there any items for new business for the agenda? Okay. I will entertain a motion to approve the agenda.
I move to adjourn the agenda.
I raised my hand.
Okay. Raise their hand. Donna, go ahead.
Okay. Can you give, is there a parliamentarian present? And could you introduce them?
There is not a parliamentarian present, but the parliamentarian has approved our agenda. And Susan Young is here as a parliamentary consultant for this meeting.
Okay, I have another request. Excuse me, for the agenda, please.
You have you would like to put another item on the agenda?
Well, what I'm asking is that if when Antonio speaks, that we allow one or two or three comments, questions of him, so that the LSB members can speak with him or, you know, whatever.
I'm ruling that dilatory. Thank you. Do we have any other additions to the agenda?
I move to amend it.
Please, we have 1 minute before we move into public comments. Please state your amendment.
I want to add 30 minutes for question and answer with the three managers here present. I don't think there's anything more important than the state of the station, and we need to hear about it.
So we will take that up. We can go to a roll call on that matter. I do not believe that we can change this agenda without a 2/3. So we will now take a vote on whether or not to extend the time for this meeting. Go ahead and take a roll call vote. Candace.
Emma Auer.
Pass.
Emma, I didn't hear you.
She passed.
Virginia Browning.
I vote to do what Anthony just said and have
it's a yes or no.
Is that the answer? Is no the answer then?
No.
I mean, we don't know how we're voting, yes or no. Meaning what?
Okay, we are now at 11:10. I believe it is the intention of this meeting to have the visitors go ahead and do their presentations. We'll come back to this item at the end of their presentations. Go ahead. I want to introduce Antonio Ortiz. He's the interim general manager for KPFA, and to welcome our guests.
Thank you, Carol. And good morning, everybody. Nice to see you on this wonderful Saturday, July 19th. Wanted to give you a quick update of what I talked about last board meeting, which is the Every Person Handbook. I'm still in the process of completing the final stages of updating the Every Person Handbook. And the goal is to, my personal goal is to get it shared with all staff the week of August 4th. It will include a declaration of compliance with station policies and procedures, and every staff member will be required to sign it. The goal is to ensure that all staff know the station policies and procedures, as well as the station's organizational and departmental goals. So that's what's going to be happening in the next couple weeks. And an update from what I said last month, which was my hope to finish this by this quarter. Then I want to go to two things before I introduce our interim program director and our new news director. Two things are that we're going to be going into summer fun drive. It'll be starting on July 22nd. That's Tuesday. And the goal is $230,000. The hope is that we can end the drive a little bit earlier. So we're pushing for the end of the drive to be on Thursday, July 31st versus a Friday. All staff has been notified by the development director of this, and we're keeping our fingers crossed, and we hope that we can have a successful summer drive. For all of those of you who don't know, the summer drive tends to be the most challenging for the station. So it's going to be a lot of work for the team, but we hope anyone and everyone who can help fundraise during the summer and help us reach our goal. We're looking forward to anyone and everyone who can do that for us and join us in this endeavor. So that is the upcoming summer drive, which is going to be next week. And then other things is that today, California Historical Radio Society is doing Radio Day by the Bay. We have some staff members who are currently in Alameda at KPFA's booth. I will be there after this meeting at around 1:30 to be present. And so I encourage everyone to come join and see the festivities that the California Historical Radio Society has put on every year. It's a fun event, and it's a great way to connect with other radio folks. So that's happening today. Next month, Berkeley is going to have its first ever Berkeley Pride, produced by the Pacific Center, a nonprofit 501c3 organization. And KPFA is a proud media sponsor of that event. That's going to happen on Saturday, August 16th in downtown Berkeley. And then another event that KPFA is a proud media sponsor of is the Stern Grove Festival. On August 17th, we will be at that event. The guest artist is Diana Ross, if any of you are interested. So those are some of the events that we are media sponsoring for the summer. Okay, from there, I would like to introduce Jose Gonzalez, our interim program director. Jose has been with us since 2020 as an operations department intern. Unfortunately, pandemic happened, but he was one of the few that was able to complete their internship during the pandemic. Since then, he's been a fill-in board operator. He's been a Zoom AV tech for the LSB meetings. He's been an assistant engineer, a news tech for the Pacifica Evening News, and was an assistant to the interim general manager operations coordinator for a brief moment in time. So he's been interim program director since February 1st. Jose has learned the inner workings of the station. He's proved that he's able to address urgent operational and programmatic tasks with speed and effectiveness, and most importantly, actively participated in resolving personnel issues with compassion and understanding. He also has a BA in media studies from UC Berkeley, and Jose has proven himself to be a strong member of the KPFA management team, and I can't tell you how I look forward to the future growth of the program department under his leadership. So I will pass it off to Jose to introduce himself.
Thank you. I hope you guys can hear me all right. Thank you, Antonio, for that introduction. I do see some familiar names from when I was doing the AV at these meetings. So hello to you all. And for those who don't know me, Jose Gonzalez, again, currently serving as interim program director at KPFA. And before I talk a little bit about my role at the station, my goals, and what I want to focus on, I want to share a little bit about how I got here, because I think it's deeply connected to why I care so much about the station. I was brought to the U.S. When I was about 5 years old, and I lived most of my life undocumented. I mean, navigating systems that really weren't built to uplift or represent people like me. Only recently have I been able to adjust my status, thank God, because this administration wants me out. And in many ways, that transition mirrors the journey I've taken from being a marginalized voice in society to now working at a station whose mission is to amplify voices like mine. Coming to KPFA feels like a full circle moment, because here I get to help shape the kind of media that I never saw or heard growing up. And so I love KPFA and its mission. As interim program director, my core focus is making sure we do radio right. I'm a big fan of radio. That starts with our sound. We're a radio station, and sound is our calling card. So I've made it a priority to, and as you've heard maybe, freshen up our promos. When I came to the station, I heard a lot of the same promos, and I believe that that is an area where we should always be producing. We should always be questioning what our listenership needs to know and what we need to convey to them. And that's just not for the sake of production or polish, but to ensure we're telling listeners clearly who we are, what we offer, and why it matters. When someone flips through the dial and lands on KPFA, I want them to know they're at KPFA and feel the difference for the station. Getting our message across doesn't stop at the FM band. My goal is to make sure that KPFA's voice is consistent and strong across all platforms. That means our website, newsletters, social media, events, community outreach. Every time someone interacts with KPFA, they should understand our mission, feel our values, and know how to engage. Another key focus for me is the archives, right? There's a lot of gold in there. But they need care and they need curation. And that means, making sure that all programs, all shows, are filling up their complete episode description, coupling them with compelling images and making our programming more accessible and engaging for today's audience, whether they're tuning in live or discovering us on demand through the archives. And since KPFA is and must remain a community station, I'm working to ensure we're opening our doors wider. That means bringing back internships, expanding volunteer opportunities, and creating, hopefully, I really want to do this, is creating a street team, not new to radio, or for lack of a better term, a rapid response team. This group will help us stay visible in the community, but also at festivals, rallies, and public gatherings. My vision is that we will empower them with the tools, the know-how, to help us collect and share the sounds of the people. Because KPFA should not just report on the world, we need to be in there. Recently, I did a whole campaign of promos asking people for their feedback, to call or email us, and they want us out there. They want KPFA out in the public, and that's what I want to deliver on. This work is personal to me. I know what it means to be unheard. I know what it means to rely on community, and I know that KPFA has an incredible legacy. And an even more powerful future. If you keep leaning into the people who make this station what it is. I want to thank you all for having me. I'm honored to be here and excited for what we can all build together.
Thank you, Jose. And Tony, you want to go ahead and introduce Lauren?
I'll introduce Lauren next. And then after that, I'll do a quick words and then I'll pass it off to the next item. So what I would also like to introduce is our new news director, Lauren Schmidt. And let me get to my page here. And Lauren comes from us from KMUD, Redwood Community Radio, which broadcasts in Humboldt and Mendocino counties. It was a pleasure to introduce Lauren at this year's National Federation of Community Broadcasters in Salt Lake City. And I can't tell you all how there is this renewed excitement with KPFA. And how KPFA can work with and help bring together other newsrooms from other affiliates and sister stations to share reporter resources and possibly have a Pacifica-wide news program. And just the energy was electrifying, and I was very proud to be a representative of KPFA there and to see that the wider community radio environment, community, has this high regard for KPFA. And so I'm going to pass it off to Lauren. Lauren can introduce themselves. Lauren.
Thank you so much, Antonio. And first, I want to thank Jose, Antonio, Carol for the very warm welcome and all of the staff and you board members. I know firsthand how vital it is to have a local board who truly cares and supports this beloved nonprofit radio station. I also want to acknowledge and recognize the legacy of Eileen Alfandary and Mark Miracle, who together brought 80 years of institutional knowledge, journalistic integrity, and deep commitment to KPFA and Pacifica. It is truly big shoes to fill. I do not take that lightly, but it is very much an honor to step into this role, and I approach it with deep respect for the groundwork they laid and the trust they built with the listeners over the decades. So for folks who didn't read the recent KPFA newsletter, I want to give a moment to introduce myself. And Jose, I really resonated with the words you shared. And similarly, grassroots community radio has changed my life. For over a decade, I was a volunteer, an engineer, a programmer, and then the news director at KMUD Radio in Humboldt County, about 3 hours north of us. They are a Pacifica affiliate, where I created a daily newscast Monday through Friday, and very much was relying on a lot of the work that we do here at KPFA News. We would partner with Eileen and Christina, Christopher, Scott, Max, and be sharing, file sharing, content sharing, and helping to bolster our news, and kind of laid that groundwork for one of the visions I have of creating a network of local news systems, especially in this time as we see nonprofit news, community media under attack by this administration. I actually started my journey as a listener of grassroots community radio. I would then get involved and engineer the nightly news, but it wasn't until I was going to college studying anthropology at the time, and this was during the No Dapple Standing Rock movement, and we decided we should have ground truth reports on what's happening. And there was a coalition of indigenous leaders from our region who in the Dakotas and created the California Kitchen. So we would call in live and air those voices, sharing updates weekly. And the ground truth reports we heard on the radio were not what we were seeing on corporate media. And it really changed the trajectory of my life and my goal. Is to find these stories that are being overlooked or purposely not reported on. And it's our duty as grassroots media to find these stories and uplift these stories and reports. And KPFA has been doing that for decades. So again, it is an honor to continue that work. I have a grand vision developing, and I'd just like to share a couple of my goals. And I think a lot of that actually aligns with Jose's vision. So I'm very excited to be working collaboratively on that. I'm going to kind of go through some of the things that are a little more immediate and get to some of the kind of long-term goals for this year. I'm a pretty ambitious person. But I have a lot of energy and a lot of passion, and I believe in this work. So I have full faith that these will come to fruition. One of the main things, and to Jose's point about having visibility in the community, going out and finding these stories, at the current capacity, you know, it's we're crunching deadlines. We have headline reports. We have an hour newscast at 6. And so much of that, you know, you have to be in the office to get this together. But that's why we have this coalition of interns who we can send into the field to get these reports. And already this week, I was actually able to do a in-field reporter training for the interns we currently have to set them up for success, whether that be going to the immigration court, documenting ICE arrests, going to college campuses, or covering, you know, live election forums. I really want these talented young folks to be set up with success. And I can answer more questions, but I've already updated some press credentials. Right now I'm working on streamlining daily assignments coordination. We're going to have a little more staff meetings and collective processes moving forward, bolster intern recruitment training, look for grants, update emergency response, and collect intel and coordinate with affiliates for regional news collaborations. So thank you.
No, of course. Thank you so much, Lauren and Jose, for introducing yourselves. Lauren, that's also happened to me too, where I run out of time. But to the whole board, what I want to say is that in 2022, when KPFA only had $35,000 in its bank account, at that time, I was in a dark place with the station thinking that this is done. And we do have a team of people that truly believe in this radio station that showed me that we can still persevere no matter what the obstacles are. And what I want to say is that with Jose on board, with Lauren on board, I am in this place where I can see that we are going to grow in ways that we had not imagined in the past. And I am super excited about that. So I'm looking forward to the team, what they can accomplish. I'm also looking forward to what the board can help us with fundraising, and also just kind of having conversations with you all about your listener-sponsored radio station and what you want to see it accomplish in the next year or two. Okay? So thank you.
And we're going to have Susan Young go ahead and do your presentation, please, and then we'll take everyone's questions afterwards after Susan's complete.
Great. Okay, I think many are aware that there was a referendum by New Day in 2021, and aspects of that went to court. The member vote was overwhelmingly supportive. The staff vote was not, but the staff vote was challenged, and that challenge continued until 2025. In 2021, the national board elected to sue. In 2025, the national board took the opportunity posed by the court to mediate, developed a settlement. The settlement was submitted April 3rd, and April 10th, the court announced its approval. There has been a challenge that has caused some uncertainty about whether these bylaws are in place. That challenge was addressed by the court on July 3rd, and I will read the official statement about it. On July 3rd, 2025, the Los Angeles Superior Court issued a ruling denying a motion filed by six individuals seeking to intervene in a recently settled legal case involving Pacifica Foundation. They asked the court to cancel the dismissal of the case and rejected the settlement agreement that had been reached in Pacifica Foundation, Inc. v. New Day. The court denied the motion to intervene and upheld the dismissal and settlement of the case. The court denied their request on the following reasons. The court found that the case had already been properly resolved and dismissed, and there was no longer an active lawsuit to intervene. The motion to intervene was filed too late, nearly 4 years after the case began and after the settlement had been negotiated, approved by the Pacifica National Board, and finalized by the court. Even if the case were still open, the court found that the proposed interveners had been aware of the litigation throughout its duration, and in some cases were members of the Pacifica National Board themselves. The court also determined that their interests were represented during the legal process, especially since the Pacifica Board, of which they were a part, had voted to authorize the mediation and approve the settlement. The court stated that allowing intervention now would delay and disrupt the settlement agreement that all parties had properly negotiated. Bottom line, the court ruled that the motion to intervene and undo the settlement was untimely and without sufficient legal grounds. Therefore, the motion was dismissed. It is my hope that now the National Board and the local station boards can focus on what the new 2025 settlement bylaws provide. I think one of the most exciting aspects is there is direct election of national and local boards. The national board in the past has been elected by the members of the LSBs. So that's 24 people at each station. Now, the national board will be elected by a full 30,000 members. In my mind, that's a major move towards democracy, and I'm proud that we have gotten that done.
Thank you, Susan. I'd like to open it up for questions now. And I want to ask everyone, raise your hand if you would have a question. I see Philip's hand. Raise your Zoom hand if you can. Stan, I see your hand, but I also want to see Zoom hands if possible. And if you're on a phone, that's *9. And please say who your question is to, and please, I'm going to ask everybody to keep your questions and your answers kind of brief so that we can hear from as many people as we can. Thanks. Go ahead, Philip.
This is for Antonio. Antonio, National Federation of Community Broadcasters goes way back, and I attended in Bellingham, Washington, about 45 years ago. So I'm very curious what happened at this meeting in Salt Lake City, and I'm sure with the cut in funding, not for Pacifica because they already cut our funding, but for all of these NFCB stations, particularly in rural and small town areas, are really going to be devastated by the cut in NFCB money. What can you tell us about that?
Well, Philip, it's a big conference, and there are a lot of sessions, learning sessions for a lot of community radio stations, so I can't really concise it too much, except for the fact that there is a renewed energy. Well, I don't want to say renewed, because I haven't been to a NFCB conference, a national one. I've been to a regional one in Santa Rosa over a decade ago, but the feeling that I got is that community radio stations need to start banding together, even more so now than ever. And any and all ways that we can support each other is something that we have to look into. And so that is the feeling of the NFCB at this time. And I hope that answers your question. And I think Lauren also has something to add.
Yeah, I'll try to keep it brief. Yeah, the NFCB, this was the 50th anniversary conference, so it was really special. I felt like a KPFA debutante. I got to meet Amy Goodman, who personally congratulated me for this position. Right now, the NFCB is working hand in hand with the CPB. There are approximately 200 community radio stations nationwide, 120 of which are very rural and rely on the CPB funding. KMUD, where I'm coming from, 22% of their budget is CPB. They were planning for these cuts. They had that, you know, which is a privilege. Not every station has that option, which is exactly why right now in my priority list, we are going to be bumping up that networking with the Pacifica affiliates, because in this time of attacks, I think it's time we come together as a community and create this collaborative news network to make sure our communities stay informed, because it's as important as ever.
Thank you. Let's see. Next, Anthony Fest. Go ahead, Anthony.
Yes, my question is for Lauren. First of all, greetings. I've been involved with KPFA since the mid-90s. I got involved as a news reporter, and later I became host of the Sunday News and stayed with that for 20 years. We do have newscasts 7 days a week, but in my time, and I suspect it's still true today, the weekend news is under-resourced. You know, oftentimes I did not even have reporters, and obviously, sometimes I actually covered a field story myself and then hurried back to the studio to do the full broadcast. So, my question is, do you intend to devote, reporter resources to the weekend news, allocate reporter resources, intern resources to the weekend news as well as the weekday?
Absolutely. So I've been in touch with a lot of the weekend hosts. We're having our first kind of in-person meeting at the end of this month. I'm very excited. I already got to meet with David virtually, and I'll be meeting Vanessa and company where we're going to help. I'm going to come in and kind of help produce that newscast. Right now, we actually have an intern reporter currently allocated for the weekend, which is great. They've been able, Anasuya, she's been able to go out into the field. There's a lot happening on the weekends. And like I said, I want to see KPFA News as kind of boots on the ground and getting out into our communities and showing that, you know, our newsroom is committed to uplifting some of the grassroots movements that are unfolding in real time. So in short, yes. There's a lot to cover, and the weekend news will not be overlooked.
Thank you, Anthony, for that question, and thank you, Lauren. What I also want to add to it is that stationwide, supporting programmers over the weekend, you all may not know this, but with the structural changes in departments, we have finally gotten a weekend weekend engineer from the engineering department that works on Thursdays through Mondays. And so now we have more support for the weekend music staff and public affairs and news staff. So just to give you a heads up that, you know, it's also my goal to provide more support to a lot of our volunteer programmers that do the good work they're doing on the weekends, right? And so we're still tooling around with how to provide more support, but just know that that's one of my top goals, is to make sure that everyone is well-resourced, including all of the weekend people, and then also for the music department that has shows after 8 o'clock up until 5 in the morning. Okay.
Thank you. Sherry Gendelman, you have a question.
I have a question and a comment. I just want to let everybody know that when Jose was the weekend engineer at the station, he was almost always on time and very competent and, you know, very respectful of my lack of tech knowledge. And I just welcome him to this position. I also would like to say that the new promos for the station are wonderful. They are absolutely wonderful. So thank you, Jose, for whatever input you have had on those new promotions. The other day I was driving in the car and I heard you play somebody that had called in and said that they love Sherry Gendelman. I was kind of pulled over. I almost had it crashed into the car in front of me. Lauren, I wonder if you're going to be meeting or strategizing with other stations in the Bay Area and in California and nationally for an effective response to the cuts that the Trump administration, you'll pardon the expression, I know we're not supposed to use foul language, but I had to, that the Trump administration has passed and signed into law for, I'm wondering if there are strategy sessions on the horizon.
Yeah, and Sherry, just for clarification, do you mean with Pacifica affiliates or just other stations like KQED in the Bay Area?
Well, I mean both.
Yeah, so KQED is going to take a blow. I'm not entirely sure how much of their budget was cut. You know, they are an NPR affiliate, but out of the 0.01% of the national budget, which they just cut for public funding, NPR actually only received 2% of that funding. So it really is these rural stations, also the PBS stations, you know, basically rural and PBS are taking the biggest hit, although the attack really seemed to want to target NPR. And I don't know if that was really made clear by a lot of other media outlets. But to that point, yes. Right now, we've actually entered into kind of a collaborative workflow with a local publication. They're not radio, but they're called Mission Local.
Great.
And I'm new to the Bay Area, you know, but I'm a big fan of the Bay Area, and I live here in Berkeley now. And so I'm really trying to get a kind of grasp of the local media scene. But I've already been working with the reporter at Mission Local, Frankie. He was actually the person to break the story locally about the violent clash between ICE and protesters. We were able to reach out to him, and now we're kind of on speed dial. You know, every Tuesday he's at the courthouse. We don't have interns to go into the field on Tuesday, which I think, you know, hopefully we're working to bolster our roster at this time. But to that point, you know, Frankie's doing this great work. He's on the ground. He's been calling in live to the newsroom. We've interviewed him on air. So I truly believe in the local collaboration. I'm open to all collaborations. You know, I'm happy to reach out to KQED. I will note, we're actually collaborating in a very exciting way with UC Berkeley's School of Journalism. We will be receiving a fellow in September, which is extremely exciting. And, you know, just adding more, this fellow our local voices to our airwaves. But yes, I will be collaborating, and especially with KPFK in LA. We do broadcast to our LA community, and we want to bolster those voices too. Working with the networks already in place in Southern California. You know, I'd like to focus on a kind of state, start with the state. And then I'd like to see what some of the other stations, you know, WBAI, and maybe they could fund a reporter. You know, maybe they can't float an entire newsroom, but maybe they could fund a reporter where we're working collectively, you know, they're 3 hours ahead of us and can probably have a better grasp on the news at, you know, 7 a.m. our time. So building these networks, I'm very long-winded if you haven't noticed. So in short, yes.
Dan, go ahead. We only have a couple minutes left, so Stan, please keep it brief. And
okay, sure. Should I go ahead now?
Yeah, please.
All right. My question is directed to Jose Gonzalez, new interim program director. Jose, I don't know if you're aware or not, but in the first decade of the 2000s, we had a program council at KPFA. It consisted of community members, staff members, and also board members. They weren't strictly advisory board. They had real powers. We were a community. They had real powers. Laura Privis actually was on the board, on the committee for some time. So was Anthony Fest. So was myself. Listeners felt that they should have a role in some role in decision.
I'm sorry, Stan, you're cutting off.
Unfortunately, that program committee was unilaterally dissolved by at the end of the decade. If such a committee were to be reestablished, a program committee, program council, would you support that?
I'd have to convene and check in with the folks as to what was that council. As you know, we are a very small staff, and we all wear many hats. And so I'd be interested in hearing more about it. I just don't know if you have the bandwidth for it. But I'm all about consensus. And so, in theory, it sounds like a good idea, Stan.
Okay.
For several years. Thank you.
Yeah, Virginia, very fast.
Okay. On the news lately, I think seems to be a campaign of being very pro-Ukraine. Although Russia has its problems, there are many pieces of information out there. Consortium News has a good timeline.
Virginia, what is your question?
There's a promo, and I appreciate those promos too a lot, Jose, as I think you know. There's a new promo that says that KPFA wants the truth or something like that. And the USA
Virginia, what is your question?
If you don't have another, you need another point of view on Ukraine, on the air, not just, I don't know who funds this.
Thank you, Virginia. I believe that's
I would
opinion.
Like to know.
Okay, Donna, what is your question?
My question is addressed to Susan. Hello, Susan. Have some thoughts about how we are going to continue KPFA and each of the other stations having a local sense of community. Since we will are the bylaws, which you say are passed, those bylaws did not come to the community to vote on, which I believe was part of the original bylaws, that they would be changed by the community. And I would like to know how we will have meetings such as this with our community if much of the governance of Pacifica is centralized.
Happy to answer that. First of all, let me correct something. The community did vote in 2021. The only bylaw elements that were included in the settlement were those voted on in 2021 and those that have carried forward to 2020. So the community, more than 6,000 people voted who were members. I think it was maybe 500 who were staff. The original bylaws that resulted in the 2020 were decided by the court. So the community did not craft the original bylaws. What I think the 2025 bylaws provide is that there is a much more active opportunity for the local station boards in outreach, in feedback on programming, in developing support. All of that is an important focus and the way that the local community can really help. The local community will all elect the national board. It'll no longer be representative. It'll be direct election by 30,000 members.
Thank you, Susan. We're gonna now we're got a time limitation. We're gonna go now to the local station board reports, and I believe
point of order.
What's your point of order, Anthony?
The agenda was never approved. My amendment was never voted on, and the agenda itself was never approved.
We're gonna have a discussion about the agendas right now. We're going to the local station board. Michael Cheng has a motion, and then we'll get to your motion, Anthony. Go ahead, Michael.
My motion roughly is about the progression of meeting of this sort, of this meeting. Basically, we're going to follow the Robert's Rule. I move the meeting be structured using Robert's Rule of Order agenda template. The KPFA LSB member have the right to, or the option to add items to new business, and the KPFA LSB officers having the right to make addition to the executive sessions, time allocation, and the other adjustment to the future KPFA LSB meetings. And there's an ancillary item that is the chair may designate two board members to speak for and against each designated items.
Okay.
Second.
Okay. Candace, did you want to motivate that?
I move that we adopt it. Is that what you're asking me?
And do you want to say why?
Well, because we spend a lot of time in the beginning of each meeting talking about the agenda when we have limited time to talk about much more important issues, and it kind of cuts that off.
Thank you. Okay. Dan Woods. Go ahead.
Sorry, my hand was up from before. I'll lower it now.
Oh, okay. Michael, did you want to motivate your agenda?
My reason for having this motion is because we spend a lot of time about adjustment, and also people tend not to pay too much attention on the previous item that promoted and asking questions backwards. And if we want to be following the Robert's rules of meetings, we need to be active listeners, pay attention, and so we don't have to ask backwards questions.
Thank you. Donna Carter.
Cancel.
Okay, Anthony Fest.
I don't even understand how this motion changes our present practice, but if we're talking about a way to reduce the time spent debating the agenda, the way to do that is to have consultation ahead of time with all board members. So we can have a consensus agenda and then vote on it and presumably approve it quickly.
I'm going to clarify that all board members have the option to send suggestions for the agenda. What this motion does is Robert's Rules of Order has a template, which is what we generally end up doing in our meetings. And that is call to order, roll call, approve agenda, minutes, reports, new business, unfinished business, special items, and then we have public comment, new business, and then public comment. So what we want to do with this motion is to enable the board to just have a set agenda, and we'll make adjustments for times, the officers, anybody will be able to add items to new business. And that comes up. So when we get to, so we have time for new business. So we have time for our reports. So we have a little more time for answering things. So what we want to do is to have that template, and then there could be adjustments for times, and there could be adjustments for the officers would make adjustments for if there's an executive session to put that in, if there's a town hall to put that in. So that's what we're voting on. Steve, go ahead.
Yeah, you've kind of clarified it. There is a template in Robert's Rules. We wouldn't actually have to do anything to use it. It's the default order of business when there is no agenda. But I guess what I'm hearing is we're going to continue to have an agenda, but the template will be the existing Robert's Rules of Orders meeting guide. So that's fine. I think I understand now.
Thank you. Okay. Donna Carter.
Yeah, unfortunately, there's something that was mentioned that is of concern to me, is that all new business frequently never gets addressed at LSB meetings or PNB meetings. So I think this would could potentially decrease the participation of members in discussing issues they feel that are important. I'm not sure, but I have that concern.
I think, Donna, what has been happening is if we spend half an hour on the agenda, and then we don't get to new business. If we can spend less time on the agenda, we will have more time for other things. So, Anthony, go ahead.
Yeah, this appears to be a motion that applies to our meetings going forward. And that's admissible, but my motion was much more immediate. So I hope we'll dispose of this motion quickly and then get back to my motion to have additional time for Q&A with the new managers. We had about 15 minutes. I think it would be very productive to have more.
Okay, we'll go to a vote. Candace, please take the roll. Please do a roll call vote.
What are we voting on? Is this on Michael's proposal?
We're voting on Michael's proposal to use the Robert's Rules of Order agenda.
Okay, thank you.
With the options of state members adding items to do business and officers making additions to executive session time allocations and town hall adjustments. Go ahead, Candace. Please vote yes or no on this motion.
And yes would be to support Michael's motion, right?
Yes.
Thank you.
Candace, are you ready? Candace, you're muted.
You're muted.
Sorry about that. This one, Emma Auer.
Yes.
Virginia Browning?
Abstain.
Donna Carter?
Abstain.
Donna Carter, abstain. Michael Cheng?
Yes.
Michael Cheng, yes. Cheryl, oh, she's not here. Anthony Fest?
Abstain.
Anthony, abstain. Sherry Gendelman?
Yes.
Sherry, yes. Christina Huggins?
Yes.
Christina, yes. Zach Colbeer?
Yes.
Zach, yes. Carlos Cohan?
Yes.
Carlos, yes. Steve Kukala?
Yes.
Steve, yes. Philip Muldry?
Yes.
Philip, yes. Kathy Pico?
Yes.
Kathy, yes. Allegra Thompson?
Yes.
Allegra, yes. Andrea Turner?
Yes.
Andrea, yes. Richard Walensky?
Yes.
Richard, yes. Stan Woods?
Abstain.
Stan, abstain. Candace, yes. Carol?
Yes.
Carol, yes. We have 14 yes, and I'm not sure why this didn't record. 1, 2, 3 abstain. 4 abstain, sorry. 4.
Thank you. The motion passes. We are now going to, we have a time certain for this meeting at 11:58. I believe that, are there any director's reports?
We need
point,
to vote.
Point of order.
We need to vote,
need to
on,
vote
Anthony.
On Anthony's. Yeah.
Actually, this motion takes precedence over Anthony's motion. We can, I'm going to ask, because of time, anyone who would like to vote in favor of Anthony's motion to extend.
At this point, it would be 15 minutes.
Yeah, we cannot delay time certain for the executive session. So
the agenda was never approved for the third time. The agenda was never approved.
The agenda was just approved by the motion that we just passed. We just passed a motion to establish this. So the
that
agenda
was going forward.
It doesn't say going forward. We are, it does not say going forward. It says, yeah, it does not have going forward in it. So it is for this meeting, and we will now go
to. So it's retroactive.
It is not retroactive. It's current.
It's current, not retroactive.
Thank you. Okay, we are now. We are now moving to executive session.
I would like to request to be recognized.
By email. Where is it?
We are now moving to executive session. Please remove all, I'm asking all non-board members to leave the meeting. All non-board members,
this is Serene Roberts. I'm a director. I asked you for the executive session information. Be sure that you do not remove me.
This is Cheryl Davila. I'm present. I'm willing to be recognized.
Thank you, Cheryl.
Yes, thank you. And thank you to our guests, Lauren, Antonio, and Jose.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, everybody. Bye.
Thank you.
Sheila is not a local station board member.
We're working on it.
Can I be heard? Hello. Can anyone hear me?
Yes, we can.
This is Jane Roberts, I'm a director. Well, it would be nice if the chair could, thank you very much, it would be nice if the chair could confirm, since I contacted her 24 hours ago about this.
Can you identify yourself, please?
I've addressed that.
Okay.
Okay, we're beginning with public comments.
Is it 2 minutes per person or 90 seconds?
It's 90 seconds the first time.
Okay.
If you would like to speak for public comments, please raise your hand.
And this is not for LSB members, right?
This is public comments. It's not for LSB members at other stations or any LSP members. This is public comments.
Right, right. Thank you.
I'm looking for hands for public comments. Terry's pad. I see Colleen. Go ahead, Colleen. You're muted, Colleen.
Hi, Terry and I have been enjoying the very well thought out thing, but we want to know what we can do to help with the what do we call it?
To outreach.
Outreach. And
not just tabling, but the problem is how do we raise the awareness of KPFA in the community? I frequently talk to people who have been here all their lives and they have never heard of KPFA.
Mm-hmm. I guess that's the question. Can you hear?
Yes, and I think it was important, we can't respond to questions so much during public comments.
Right.
But I just want to thank both you and Terry for all the work you've done for outreach.
Well, we want to do more and we want to be part of a group that gets together maybe comes up with things on Zoom and maybe helps each other out.
We're willing to table. We're willing to go places.
Yeah.
We want to raise the awareness that KPFA exists and can benefit this community.
Mm-hmm. And I love the idea of collaborating with other news works now and that we need to start getting together. So maybe figure out a way to connect with them too.
Good. Call in user number 2. Go ahead. Call in user number 2. I believe you are muted.
Yep, you are muted.
Disappeared.
Is it star 6, Carol, for phone?
It, call in user number 2, you are muted. There you go.
There we go.
Yes, I'd like to point out something that so far, every time I listen into KPFA LSB, I see that the way that these new so-called bylaws are going to be implemented.
I'm going to interrupt. Elizabeth, you are not welcome to be in this meeting. You have been suspended and you are not eligible to speak during public comments. Thank you.
Two black women have been so far excluded. Serene Roberts.
Go ahead. Anyone else for public comments? Darlene, go ahead.
With the new bylaws and the focus of the LSB on helping KPFA, what is the, what's going to happen with, I don't know, training or organizing, how to do the outreach, understanding, looking for demographics, identifying, underrepresented, communities physically, and also, how would, volunteers be, brought in, if they are, brought in, to do that kind of work, as opposed to having a listener outreach, an LSB outreach, a, I don't know, whatever happened to the CABs. So what planning is there for organizing the work? And is it going to be actually the responsibility of the LSBs, or at least the officers of the LSBs, to get that going?
We're going to hold questions to the end, and Susan may want to respond to that. Darlene, it's public comments, so
yeah. Okay, I thought that was a public issue, so fine, I'll wait.
Okay, anybody else for public comments? All right, Susan, did you want to respond to Darlene's question?
Sure, I'd like to respond to Darlene's question and also the wonderful comments of the ladies who were on previously. A lot of the efforts about how to organize under 2025 bylaws were basically on hold until the court acted July 3rd, because there was a lot of confusion around that. I think there will be two levels of efforts. One, the PNB will be reaching out to management staff, which is, they're confused about what this means. And there are a lot of questions about the legality and about what it means for relationship between management and governance bodies. We will also be reaching out to each of the stations, the local station boards, and their management as well, to make clear what was in the 2020s, what is in the 2025s, and what those changes mean. And there are two periods of time that are important. One is this transition period that we're in right now, where we're continuing to work with the previously elected local station boards and the previously elected Pacifica National Board. There will be an election in 2026, and that election will be to populate new boards elected under the new methods. So the national board will be elected directly by members. The local station boards will be elected directly by members, and those boards will convene and start to work in January 1, 2027. In the meantime, the kinds of things that you're talking about is gearing up volunteers, understanding, getting people to be excited about promoting the radio station, understanding communities that are not yet connected in. I think each local station board now can do a lot of groundwork about what those strategies might be, how effective are they, and the local station boards can learn from each other. I think the WPFW is doing a lot of good things. I think KPFA is. I know that we at KPFT can learn from you all.
Thank you, Susan. And I'm going to call on 1832. Can you tell us if you are a board member? Person with the phone number 1832.
You mean 1348?
Oh, I recognize you. Go ahead, Nancy.
Okay, thank you. If there's a, oh, well, this is public comment. I would like to tell you that the auditors were telling the audit committee, this is many years ago, that you need local oversight of the finance, and you need national oversight. You need both. But this new bylaws has eliminated the oversight of LSB over the local finance. That sounds like you're asking for bigger trouble than we already have.
Nancy, part of our board is to ask, our board rules is to ask for documentation. Can you tell us where and when that auditor said that? I haven't heard of that in recent years. Can you send to our board documentation for that?
I was in, well, I'll have to dig for it, but it was in an auditor's committee many years ago. I can't remember which company it was, but he said yes, because he said we are having trouble getting financial information to the national from all the stations. So we need that first. We must get everything to the national. I said, well, what about the local oversight? He said, yes, that is also important. But right now they're having trouble with one station that does not want to send their financial documentation to the auditors. And then the auditors, they cannot take another customer while they're waiting for Pacifica to get their information together. Now, I'm not going to say which station it was that was late, but I think you can guess.
Well,
I also want to say, if there's a, you know, when you take away the rights of the runner-ups to fill vacancies, you are disenfranchising the whole station membership, how they voted. You're disenfranchised. Another thing about this new bylaws, it has removed removed the requirement of public comment. It says public comment no longer required in the new bylaws. That's pretty unparticipatory, you know. Pacifica was a participatory, connecting with the community organization. But here, this new bylaws, this needs to change. Also, the recall, the right of the membership, the station membership, to recall a LSB has been poof gone. It's gone. That's like saying impeachment of the president is no longer there. It's just taken out of law. Now, what would we do without the right of impeachment for our country? It's the same. It is.
Please finish up.
Thank you. I'm going to ask. Go ahead, Susan. I'm going to ask you to respond to some of those comments.
This is public comment. This is not Susan's time. She's not even a member of this board.
She's a guest at this meeting.
This is public comment time. This is not.
There is no other hands raised, Nancy. Public comments time is over. We're entering into our closing time.
Mara Rivera has been trying to get in for a public comment. So maybe if you look, you'll be able to see her trying to get in.
Oh, Virginia, thank you. She is in and she just raised her hand. So we'll go to Mara.
Okay. We listeners and supporters of KPFA call on the program director to air Chris Hedges' weekly interview show on Contact. This show is currently being broadcast at KPFA's sister station, KPFK, in Los Angeles, and would be a great addition to our station's lineup. Chris Hedges is that all too rare journalist who has challenged the official narrative from his coverage of the U.S.-backed wars in Central America to the current war in Ukraine and the genocide in Gaza. Please put On Contact on our airwaves for your consideration. Thank you, and I also want to say that I've been appalled by New Day, attempt to eliminate the role of listeners and staff on the democratic governance of KPFA. and Pacifica. This was done by illegally, this was done illegally by using the existing bylaws and by not using the existing bylaws and the collusion of a court judge. At this time, resistance to the fascistic national rule needs a strong resistance. And
please finish up
to it. What has happened?
Okay, we're finished with public comments. We'll now go into announcements. Does any board member have any announcements which you would like to make? Thank you. Anybody have any announcements? I will start by making an announcement that we would like to be finding ways for our music and to find to get more outreach to music. And I'm going to ask that anybody who has a music program or has connections with music, send us suggestions of how we can do outreach to music. And that we look at that as a board. We will be looking at that as a board in November. Thank you. Any other announcements? I know that a lot of you are out there in the world doing a lot of important work. And if you have announcements, Dan usually has an announcement. Anyone else? Go ahead, Stan. Stan, you're muted if you would like to make an announcement.
Yeah. Too bad the new news director isn't on now. Maybe she'll hear this. In early August, Democratic Socialists of America is having their national convention in Chicago. It's going to be the biggest one yet. There might be as many as 3,000 people there, mostly some delegates, but also a lot of rank-and-file members from all throughout the country. There's going to be some issues that are going to affect left politics nationally. So I would, I'll post on the list as soon as I can when what the streaming links will be for anybody who wants to listen to the convention. Anybody can listen to it. You just can't speak unless you're a member or a delegate. And also to see if the news department be interested in covering parts of it. I realize we don't have a affiliate station in Chicago, to the best of my knowledge, but still sometimes might be possible via Zoom. And there will be a lot of issues discussed, the war in Gaza, the war in Ukraine, the role of the labor movement, the attacks on immigrant workers, and many other, and role of the Democratic Party, et cetera, et cetera. And I think it will be a lot of things of interest to KPFA and Pacifica listeners. But please contact me. I'll post on the LSB list, and hopefully it can be it can be referred to the program director and also to the news director in case they would like to do some coverage of the convention. Thank you.
Can you say again what it is, Stan?
Democratic Socialists of America, which is the largest left group in the U.S. since the SDS in the 1960s, is having this national convention in Chicago in early August. And there'll be many issues that will have wide impact, I think, on the broader left. And so I would like to for people to pass it on to the news director, and if she or somebody else would contact me, I can put them in contact with people who, if they would like to cover the convention in some capacity, either virtually or in person. Thank you.
Thank you. And I just want to clarify a couple things. If you would like to have something sent, like an announcement to the board, please send it to Candace. And Candace, can you just share your email address with the board? The other thing is, if you want something to go, you know, if you want to ask that the news department recover something, send it to news@kpfa.org. I have seen some kind of general referrals, like, you know, but it's important to give the news department some background information the who, the what, the where, the why, and the when, as if it's in a press conference, a press release. Mm-hmm. And that way they will take it more seriously.
Yeah, I was just making a broad announcement right now. I'll send more detailed information to the news director.
Yeah, and I just want people to know that in general. And, you know, you may also have contact with programmers, other producers for other programs that you think may be open to sharing something. Mm. So this is not just for board members. This is for all members are welcome to send, you know, suggestions for something. I know the news department gets, you know, suggestions for, and they go through those through the day. So please, you know, do that. And if you have a concern about a program, you heard something that, you know, you thought was inappropriate or inaccurate, then, you can send it to comments@kpfa.org. That's checked regularly. And again, send the time that it occurred and the show that it occurred on. So that way, you know, they can actually investigate it. We want to be accurate in how things are reported, and we want to be accurate in our concerns and our feedback. So thank you. Okay. Any other announcements by board members?
Did you want me to give my email?
Yes, please. Go ahead, Candace.
LSB.secretary.
Can you put it on the chat, please?
I don't think that goes to everybody.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
LSB.secretary@kpfa.org. And also, Carol, did we want to go back to the minutes? Approving.
Oh, yes. Go ahead, Candace.
So we did have an addition, to the minutes to, that we vacated the position of treasurer, and that was in last meeting in May. And so I'll add that to the minutes.
Thank you. Any other additions or changes to the minutes? Hearing none, the minutes are approved and we can go ahead and post them on the KPFA website. Okay. Stan, your hand is raised. Is that a legacy hand?
Yeah, a legacy hand, if you want to call it that. Sure. I'll roll over.
Okay. Carlos, your hand is raised. Go ahead.
Yes. I don't know how to do this. You tell me the right way, but I would like to add to have a motion that we add for the next meeting to the, maybe to new business. I don't know exactly where in the agenda, what Anthony Fest wanted to do, which is add some minutes to be able to ask questions to the management for the station. The management left now, Anthony, so I don't think that would, so we could do it now. But if we add it to the agenda to the next meeting, maybe invite the new management at that time so that Anthony and whoever else wants to ask questions to have some minutes to ask questions. I think it's a very reasonable request, personally.
Thank you, Carlos. Anyone is welcome to send proposals to add things, items to new business for the upcoming meeting.
How do we do that, Carol? We send an email to Candace? Is that
yes.
The way?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. Steve, is that Steve Kukala? You have your hand raised?
Yeah. Earlier in the meeting, someone was concerned about us getting to new business items. And I just wanted to let them know that if that happens, they automatically get elevated to unfinished business at the next meeting. So just to answer that.
Thank you.
When is the next meeting?
The next meeting will be a disciplinary hearing. The next meeting will be a disciplinary hearing in September, and then the next meeting after that will be in November.
You intend to have nothing but the discipline?
Right. Maybe we could have other items at the next meeting also.
Any other announcements?
May I please be recognized?
Go ahead, Cheryl.
Yeah, maybe I did lose my temper, but you annoyed me tremendously by accusing me of saying something that I did not say. And I honestly thinking of resigning from this meeting, and I need an excuse.
Cheryl, stop for a minute, please. Stop for a minute, and I want to say that we do not talk from executive session.
I'm going to talk about what Cheryl wants to talk about because you kicked me out of the meeting and I didn't get a chance to speak.
Okay, we do not discuss executive session material.
What did I say about it? I didn't say anything about the content in the meeting. I only talked about you kicking me out.
You're talking about the process of the executive session. Please.
Well, you kicked me out of the meeting and I don't know.
Oh, this is disgraceful. Stop interrupting her.
We do not discuss.
What did I discuss about the meeting? Nothing but being kicked out. That's all I said. I didn't discuss any content. So please, I'm considering resigning because this is really atrocious of the behavior that I have to deal with in these meetings. It's not fair to me or to anybody else in the meeting. And I'm tired of it. Because these meetings could be conducted in a much, much better way. I know there's a separation of whose side on what side, but you know, we should all be together and try to keep this station alive because it's going down and it needs to do better, honestly. So, you know, if you want me to continue, you need to show some respect and not stop being so racist and not allowing me to ever speak or say anything besides what you want to hear. Because, you know, you can't control us. And we do have opinions and we should be heard. It's not fair to the public that some people dominate and only control.
Cannot conduct our meeting when you're using inflammatory language.
I didn't use inflammatory language.
Point of order.
And if for the false accusation.
Go ahead.
Point of order, Chair.
Order.
Yes.
You do not, one of our rules is you don't hurl accusations like racist at somebody without foundation. And it may be an opinion, but it's not.
It's not an opinion when a black person calls someone accuses someone from being racist. It's not an opinion. It's someone that I know this my entire life. I know what it feels like. I know what it sounds like. I know what it is.
Sure.
Don't try to falsely accuse me of not.
Sure.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but I mean, it's offensive. And at the last meeting where we had training on bullying, that was one of the things that the instructor talked about.
Point of order.
Accusations like that. So thank you.
Point of order.
Go ahead. What's your point of order?
It's my understanding that members of the LSB are not to speak during public comment.
Well, public comments are over. We're in LSB announcements.
Okay.
And that was not an announcement. I recognize Cheryl to speak. Thinking that maybe she had an announcement. Anthony, do you have an announcement?
No, I have a question, which came up momentarily. Is that the intent of the bosses of this board that the next meeting, the meeting in September, be exclusively the issue that was spoken of in executive session, or are we going to actually have as well issues that are pertinent to the radio station?
The recommendation of Robert's Rules of Order is to hold executive sessions as individual items. It's time to adjourn this meeting.
And there ought to be a separate meeting for that.
We are at time certain. This meeting is adjourned.